Mouthing Off is a theater, arts, and culture podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm Amanda Forstrom.
I'm Kevin Couchman.
And I'm Mari Sittner. Mouthing Off features compelling interviews and discussions with artists and creators from around the Twin Cities and beyond.
Tune in for something different online where you get your podcasts at badmouthtc.com and on the air in St. Paul through Frogtown Radio 94.1 FM.
And if you've got something going on around the Twin Cities you'd like to talk about, we want to hear from you. Email us at badmouthtc@gmail.com.
Mouthing Off is sponsored by Minnesota Playlist, the digital destination for live performing arts. Producers can find talent to work with, directors can cast productions with audition ads, teachers can find students with a classified, and audiences can find the perfect show to attend on the state's largest calendar of theater and dance shows. Find out more at minnesotaplaylist.com.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Back with another episode of Mouthing Off, the theater arts and culture podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company, badmouthtc.com. You'll find us on Minnesota Playlist and then over the airwaves, 94.1 Frogtown Radio here in beautiful St. Paul, Minnesota, where the Minnesota Wild fell to the Colorado Avalanche last night, 9-6. But it was fun, and we got to the second round. So we're in the second round of the playoffs. And, of course, the Wolves play tonight. Do you? And we'll introduce our guests here in a moment. Well, why don't I do it now? So we're joined by Dragon Walker and her husband, Dick.
Jake Walker.
Jake. Okay. Jake. He's sitting off the mic. So I heard one thing. It's Jake. Okay. And then, of course, I have Amanda Forstrom with me, too. Amanda, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm super excited because this is a very unique guest for us. So I'm really excited to learn more and about the origin story of how you guys met, Kevin and Dragon. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the first large mythical reptile. we're breaking new ground.
At the Renaissance Festival with my little ID because my last name is Walker. And when I get meat or something, they have to card me and they're like, Dragon Walker, are you serious? So
I love it. It's awesome. Well, and we'll come back to the goofy sports talk in a minute. I just got to get it out of my system. But before we do, why don't you so you and I met here in beautiful historic St. Paul, in the Skyway, where you have do you call it an emporium? Is that what you call it?
We've been calling it that because it's not just bath products, it's other things too.
And you have outstanding soap.
Oh, thank you. You got my Fight Club soap, though.
I do. And I want to tell people about it. But first, just hammer. Where is the store? Where can people find it? Where are you online? Let's get all that business out of the way right up top here. So people can walk into this. This is one of the best, cutest, most interesting little stores in the city. And you would never know it's there if you weren't like a denizen of the Skyway. Which I have become. Yeah.
Well, saying that, you made my heart melt. I love that you think that about my store. We are at the Pioneer Endicott building, and we've been there, not at the same location we are now, but we've been there for about 2 years. We were down the hall a little bit, and we just looked like an apartment there, and people were scared to walk in. So so we moved to this big, beautiful, bright area, and I can be more lucky to have it.
It's a really
not super familiar with the Skyway. The Pioneer Endicott is at 4th and Robert, and it's the Legacy Chocolates. We're right across the street, or right across the hallway. So 4th and Robert in Lower Town, St. Paul.
Yes, and beautiful. And St. Paul is slept on. You know, I always like to say St. Paul's a lady. Minneapolis, maybe not. You know, that's what I like to say. We got to rib our friends over the river. But yeah. And so how did you find that space? How did you come to dwell there?
Lee Krueger is how we got there. We used to be at Keg & Case Marketplace, and we all know what happened with that. So we're not going to go in detail. But Lee Krueger was one of the people who were finding different businesses and trying to bring them into the Keg & Case. He later started working with the St. Paul Alliance, Downtown Alliance, and he was trying to think of vendors where he could put in spots to give them a chance. And he remembered me from Kane Case, and he contacted us and asked. At that time, it was perfect because Kane Case had just closed and we had nowhere to go.
I really liked Keg and Case too. We don't have to make this the Keg and Case show.
Oh, it's my just, God,
it was so cute, you know, yes. And it had the pinball and the, I mean, is it totally closed now
or is it more closed?
Oh, what a drag.
I just put my face in the window the other day just to see, and there's nothing in there. And it's such a beautiful building and a beautiful facility. It's such a waste. Breaks my heart.
Well, you know, I mean, it's an odd time here in this state, and obviously things have been strange. But the Pioneer Endicott building is a beautiful building, and there is a little patch there where your store is there, and of course, it makes the entire area smell wonderful. Yeah. I get my incense now from you. I bought this wonderful little box. You have like a little smattering of like antiques.
Yeah.
Skyway Vantage.
It's a woman who lives in that building actually, and she curates all those pieces for me because I really don't have that eye. I tried. I got this cute little bowl. I looked it up, thinking, "Oh, I could do this." It was worth nothing. So it does take an eye and take a skill, and she has that eye and that skill. And
well,
we also
have other
businesses there. Oh, yeah,
Well, Soapy Toad's partners with a number of local artists, retailers, and specialty folks. And like Dragon said, Skyway Vintage is a selling consignment. And she offers glassware, antiques, decor, literally for the Pioneer Endicott vibe.
Right.
Historic, sort of period specific. But that's just one example of all the other shops that turn Soapy Toads and Soapy Toads important.
Yeah, we've got Infetti there with their custom-made cards and stickers and stuff like that. We've got handcrafted bags. We have, 3D printing. These are a lot of people I met at farmers markets and stuff that just have great skills, and I brought them in with me. We have pet products, too, because the Pioneer Endicott building is a pet-friendly place. So we have a lot of that, too.
That's what my question was. How did you meet all of these folks? And are they also St. Paul, Minneapolis locals, or do they come from a little further away? And I'd love to hear. Okay, great.
Yeah, it's a little of both. Like, majority of it, we can't fill the whole store, you know, with just vendors I know. But we can do a lot of it. So when I started, I was doing craft fairs, farmers markets. I was doing everything, right? And I just got lucky. I really did. I met a lot of interesting people who are wonderful at their craft, and I was able to bring some of them into the store with me.
That's excellent.
And yeah.
Go ahead, Kevin.
No. After you.
Oh, I was going to say, do you sell anywhere besides your store? Do you have?
Yeah.
Excellent. Please let us know.
Right. We have three seasonal places too. We're at the Stillwater Farmers Market, we're at the Minneapolis Farmers Market Annex, and we have a store at the Renaissance Festival as well.
I know, right? You get to dress.
Okay, so you're talking to a big Ren Faire nerd.
Okay.
Oh, seriously?
Okay.
Yes, late to the game in life. Like, my parents are definitely not, you know, like a Valley Fair or Ren Faire or any kind of, they're homebody people, and I love them for that. But I became a theater kid. And so a lot of my friends, and I lived on the East Coast for about 8 years, and a lot of my friends had worked those fairs or whose parents had gone, you know, because they grew up as theater kids in the home. And so they had done the hour-long Shakespeare adaptations, and they had played the lute at the entrance, and they had done the food, you know, they had done everything, and even making some jewelry, and were vendors there. And so I thought, okay, you know, they want me to go, I'll go. So my first experience was the Maryland Renaissance Fair, and it was so fantastic. And it was kind of one of those days where it was like gloomy and rainy and misty, but warm.
That almost makes it perfect, right?
Yes, it was the real, like, Elizabethan trudging through the mud, and, you know, and it wasn't very busy, so it was fantastic. And so every year since, we didn't do it last year because I just had a baby, but
congratulations.
we've Thank you. We've gotten together at an Airbnb in a different state and gone to their Ren Faire. So we've gone to New York and then we've gone to Pennsylvania, but now they're going to try to come here because even I haven't been to the Minnesota Renaissance Fair.
So what? I know.
So we have to experience all together.
Yeah.
So when I'm putting this out on the airwaves, so it's going to come to fruition. What is it manifesting? My friends will come and we will stop at your soap and goods place.
Please do. Yeah.
And it's so weird because what my girlfriend's name, her last name is Walker. And she has one of those dragons on her, like that wears on her. Yes. It's amazing.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Oh my gosh. And when I tell you they are, yes, yes. When they are the kinds of people that every fair they go to and every year they have like an added piece for their costumes. So they are all out like 2-3 days like Ren Faire folks. Yeah. So, which are, I just love, it's super fun.
I've never dressed up for the Ren Faire before or anything like that. And so I got this opportunity to sell there and we were instantly ordering outfits because we just found out like what, 2 weeks before?
Our first year we discovered 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh. And how long have you been there? Been selling there?
3 full seasons and then one weekend guest vendor.
Yeah.
They have a weekend, every weekend they allow guest vendors on the hill.
Okay.
Our first year. I think we've had 3 full seasons since then.
That is awesome. Well, I can't wait.
Well, I can't wait to see you. Please come out. And
absolutely.
We have a bee booth right across from our shop. That's what sealed the deal for me getting it. So, you know, it's a perfect spot.
Yes. And who recommended the Ren Faire to you?
You know, I've always liked going.
Okay.
It was just a really cool place. And I saw that they specialize handcraft vendors, right? They don't have anything that's Target represented, and no offense against Target or anything like that, but you know, not big box represented. So it was all really people trying to show their craft. And mm-hmm. I wanted to show my craft. So I guess the recommendation came from my own experience there.
Excellent. Well, that's so exciting that you attended first and then became a beloved vendor there. That's so exciting.
Yeah, now I'm there all the time.
Yes. Oh, wait a second. Was this all just to get into the Ren Faire for free and to spend weekends at the Ren Faire? Because that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, is that free?
Oh, no.
I would add that the initial was a bit of a Hail Mary.
It's
highly ambitious on our part to go from tiny flea markets and tiny craft shows with losing a few bucks here and there to apply to participate even on a one weekend excursion to the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. It was a Hail Mary and we were shocked when we got the call. We're out shopping. I checked my phone, stopped dead in my tracks, turned a little bit white, and then pulled dragon. And it changed our evening to say the least.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very cool. Well, yeah. It's a pity that our third co-host isn't here, Mari, because she has, I think she shared this on the pod before, hasn't she, Amanda? But don't her folks, they just travel from Ren Festival to Ren Festival too? Isn't that right?
Okay. Almost. I believe they follow the medieval fairs.
Oh gosh. Well, I'm going to step
on somebody's. So they are like super hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Which,
yes.
Which fest did you go to in New York, Amanda?
That was the Ren Faire.
Which one though? Like where? Was it in the Heights in New York City or was it New York State?
No, New York State. It's okay. Always outside and they always have like a village.
And you need space for it, you know?
Well, yes. You'd be shocked. I lived in Washington Heights for a number of years, and they have a Renaissance Festival up at Fort Tryon.
For real?
Up the hill from where I lived. It's north of the George Washington Bridge. There's this little enclave up there above 180, 181 and west of Broadway. It's a very diverse neighborhood, a very interesting area, and they would have jousting. And they would have you would have no idea. If you look at a map of Manhattan, up at the top, there's a big park at the top of the island people don't know about. Yeah, so something to think about. That was
is
always
that allowed?
A funny
jousting within the city limits. Is that
I you know, I don't know what Mamdani's going to do now. You know, you might want to tax the jousters. He'll take their sticks away. I don't know. In any event, what a wonderful little diversion there. I got to get into. I got to finish my original thought. The Timberwolves game does not start until 9:30 tonight.
tonight.
What is going on? Oh. I was at a Minnesota Wild game, the one home game we lost in this last series. I didn't get out until 1 a.m. There was a, what is going, this is totally has nothing to do with anything, but it's driving me crazy.
I'm old, man. I am going to fall asleep towards the end of it.
I'll be watching. I just, this is where, you know, we could, Kevin complains about whatever, the Las Vegas effect. It's crazy. Well, and I wanted to ask you, so getting back to your wonderful business, and of course, I was in there, because I just love to stop. I go over to the great Lost Fox downtown here. I'm a regular over Lost there. Fox. They're the best. And just such good coffee, such like hip vibes. Everybody's really friendly there. You know, it's like, it's a coffee place. It's a breakfast place. It's a brunch place on the weekends. It's they've got a nice bar. They've got pinball. They've got TVs. It's got everything.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They're so good.
And so it's really good.
Oh, is that a Chihuahua?
No.
It's a cat. It's a hairless cat.
I'm obsessed.
She had him facing the other way.
She has a face like an alien, but
wow.
She's so okay. Good.
If you are listening on the radio right now, I'm sorry that we are freaking out because this is the Sphinx cat has made an appearance, and they are just magical. Oh my gosh, how darling.
Well, so I was walking. Yeah. I was walking back from Lost Fox, and I always stop by your store. It's just a pleasure. And I mentioned Fight Club, and you proceeded to, because you make the soap in the store, right?
Yeah, I do. So, I make all the bath products there.
And so, of course, she wheels out a Fight Club bar of soap and hands it to me. It was wonderful. It was a very synchronicity type moment. Yeah.
Fight Club soap. I get asked about Fight Club probably once a month or twice a month. I get asked, hey, did you watch Fight Club? And I'm like,
yeah.
And my soap is not made out of that kind of fat.
I was going to say, I didn't want to know what's in it, but I am actually not going to use that soap. That soap is decoration now here at the Mouthing Off studio here in downtown St. Paul. So I got to ask the most basic, obvious question is, how did you get into soap making? Because I got to be clear too, this is this is like artisanal craft soap. I mean, this is you clearly put a lot of love and thought into it. It's very, you walk in and you can just sort of go, okay, this isn't like the other,
right?
Yeah, other places.
Deep down in my heart, I'm a hippie. I don't like to admit it, but I am. It's hidden in there, and she surfaces, right? So I watched this movie, Practical Magic, and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool to have a shop like that where I can walk in and have these balms and lotions and stuff like that. And I just, honestly, that was 100 years ago. And I still kept onto that feel. And I did start making different balms and salves and stuff like that and learning how to do it. It was soap, though. Soap was the thing that scared me. And I really wanted to do it. It starts with lye. And if you've ever worked with lye, I was a manager for the plumbing department at Ace Hardware, Kendall's Ace Hardware in the east side of St. Paul. And I know what lye can do.
I know that place. Yeah, that's right on Payne.
Yeah, yep. It's a great store.
I always go in there instead of a Home Depot, because Home Depot, it's like they're actively trying to avoid you.
Right.
At that. And this place, it's like you can't get them off your back, which is what I want. Because
they overtrain us, and which is a good thing, because when you're there, they just make sure you're a neighborhood hardware store. And the big deal about that is that we have to know more. We have to be able to help you better than a Menards or a Home Depot. We can't compete with them, but we are that place you go to when you need it really quick.
Okay. So I got to stop you. There will be no Menards slander on Mouthing Off. I'm sorry. I'm just teasing.
I shouldn't say anything. My husband back here, I think that's where you shop the most, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He probably lives there.
Yeah.
It's bad when he walks in, they're like, hey, Jake.
Yes. Mine too. It's like the once a week trip. It's a Midwestern.
It's iconic. The nuclear fallout will just be settling over the earth, and that same ad will still be running. Pissed. Oh no. Yeah. What have I done? So in any event, you worked.
11%.
You worked at Kendall's Ace Hardware right over on the east side.
Yeah.
And then lye is caustic, isn't it? Like it's dangerous. Burn yourself.
Yeah, no, you do burn yourself. You gotta be careful. There's a picture that's put up there of one of the coworkers that had a lye solution spill on them, and the clothes are eaten away. I mean, so you have to be careful. And so it really scared me to death to work with the lye, because how you make soap is you take fat and you take lye water and you mix them, and it does this thing called saponification. And that's when it actually changes its molecular structure. It changes from lye to oil. It combines and turns into soap. It's like a magical chemistry thing. So I was scared. But then my mother-in-law, you know, I love homemade soap. I spent so much money on homemade soap. It was crazy. And I should make this, but I'm too scared. My mother-in-law makes soap. I didn't know that. I'm like, what? We've been married for a little while by that point. I should have known that, but she taught me, and I just kind of went crazy after that. And so to the point where my husband said, you need to start selling it or stop making it, because we have soap. Our neighbors have soap. Our second cousins have soap. We have so much soap. So I chose to start selling.
And how many years, or I guess I don't want to say batches or whatever, do you think it took you to kind of sort of be like, oh, I have this now.
Yeah.
And now it's like under my belt, and now I can kind of experiment with some different scents or.
So soap is fussy, man. People come to me all the time, and they're always like, I want to try to start a soap business. I want to try to start making it. And I said to them, I always say, be patient and be ready to ruin a bunch of soap. Be ready to just ruin it. And it's okay. It's okay, because that's what it takes to learn how to make it. And it's not just getting your recipe right. It also depends on your fragrances, and not even the brand, the fragrance, the individual fragrance itself, because it can accelerate it and make it too hot. And it works well, but it's just not as pretty. Or it can slow the trace. It's the thing that you call trace, that where you can mix it together and it's finally becoming soap. And every fragrance has its own personality, and you have to learn their personality. So it's really hard. So trial and error, you know, and you can read the description these companies give you, but you don't know if that's going to work the same way with the old recipe. So it's just a lot of trial and error, and it's a lot of patience. And that's why I always tell people who are starting, just be patient with yourself.
I'll answer the question directly.
Oh,
lots. Lots of batches.
Yes.
Were scrapped at every stage of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Any stage of the process, from initial mixing, initial rain, temperature regulation, first combination of products, up to the very last moment when the fragrance gets added or pollen gets added, at any phase or step of the process, the batch can be lost. And a lost batch can be overheating, underheating, failure to saponify too quickly. It might look good and then fall apart or crumble.
Yeah.
There's so many delicate things, like Greg was saying, that are process sensitive, but also timing, and then weights and measurements and temperature. But that said, after that, lots of batches, she's gotten to where she can read the soap in a second or sort of way, where the
soap
can be averted.
I love it. That's great.
People always come up to me and they think, oh, what a wonderful job. I feel like what they're saying is that you must walk in the morning and call the wilderness animals to come join you to help and throw flower petals everywhere. I'm like, no. I am covered in oil. I am not attractive. I have a face mask on when I'm mixing the lye. This is not a fairy princess thing. This is a thing. This is much harder than that.
Yeah, for sure. How long does it take from, you know, to make one batch of soap, would you say, from the beginning of the process to the end? And I know my little experience making salves is that you have to add the essence at the, or the, you know, the scent, tea tree oil or what have you, at the end. Is that true for soap as well?
Yeah, no, yeah. You want to make sure, you want to make sure it's the right temperature. So every fragrance has a flash point, they call it. Mm-hmm. And that flash point, just like the essential oils, will make that thing go away. You know, it'll dissolve it, basically. So you do have to be careful with that.
Yeah. Start from the beginning. Answer the question. Hey, you're mixing lime water.
Yeah.
That has to cool. So there's weighing, measuring, mixing, cooling.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's the weighing and measuring the oils, the warming them up. So that's on the order of an overnight lime cool.
Well, kind of. I mean, a lot of soap makers have their own style of doing it. A lot of people want to mix it in the 100s and get it about like 10 degrees apart. It's still hot and can still burn you really bad. So mm-hmm. I choose to do an overnight process where I let the oils and the lye get to room temperature. It sells at room temperature. It's just a little bit more safe to handle.
Mm-hmm. Day of prep and then hour to weigh, mix, measure, pour, and then another half day to the initial cooling, and then unmolding and cutting is another.
And then we cut the next day, actually.
Yep.
Sorry about that.
Another couple weeks for the soap to lose its water weight on the dry mass. So
it takes 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, full start to full finish, initial weigh to sellable, 4 to 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm on mute. I was going to say, I'm going to stop by again here soon and I'll pick up some soap I can actually like use.
Oh my gosh.
I have the Fight Club bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's precious.
Too.
I've got to leave it. Yeah, yeah. Yes, absolutely. The incense you have there is outstanding. It's just a great little one of these unique shops. And you know, the Twin Cities are great for this. I want to say too, you know, people listening to this who know, you know, our new friends here and know Soapy Toads, if you have something similar going on around town, we're always looking to speak with people. These are very easy, quick hours.
Oh, yeah. Please do, because we would love more business downtown. Absolutely.
Of course.
We're struggling with that. And we're the only store right now of our kind in the whole Lordstown area, because you know, we just need the businesses to come in.
We're going to get the government, the big government Death Star, is coming in, and hopefully the next governor forces them all back to work all the time. So that'll bring some life back to back to downtown. All these coming in. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just in a meeting this morning with a lot of the downtown businesses and the, Business Alliance, and we're trying to brainstorm of how to bring people to downtown and how to bring it back to life again, you know. And some of it is signage, some of it is safety, some of it is attractions, you know. And we're all right now trying to get together. Hopefully next month we'll be meeting with some government officials to make a statement of what we want to do and what's working.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why my cat is doing this right now. She would never normally.
She knows that you're trying to do old timey radio.
I think so. Oh, I think so.
She's the star of the show.
Oh, she thinks so, doesn't she? She's very present.
Well, let me just say, if anybody out there wants to come on the show, badmouthtc@gmail.com, I'm a denizen of St. Paul. Amanda was just here working on a play over at History Theater. We've spoken to a lot of people from History Theater. Amanda, we got to circle back with them and get them back in the queue. I love St. Paul. I'm a history nerd. I think the city has great bones, and so we want to be talking to people and spreading the message far and wide. You know, a lot of people avoid the cities. They only come in for the Wild or maybe the Twins or whatever else. I tell you what, you come in to downtown St. Paul, find a nice simple little parking spot. There's a lot of spots. It's very walkable. Get to know the Skyway in the winter. The Skyway is just an absolute gem. It's like a quirky little weird
really
mall in
is.
The sky. You can get from the convention center over here all the way over to the train station if you know your route.
We had our first 5K run through the Skyway this winter. And why not? You know,
it's huge.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I bought a bike at the bike shop in Union Depot. I just don't think people know, you know, and the Skyway could be better labeled. It could be a little better marked. It could be more inviting. Sometimes certain doors are open and then they're not, you know, but, you know, come down and then like on the weekend in the warmer months, which we're getting to, you know, make a day of it. Come that farmer's market down there.
Right.
Is outstanding.
It is a wonderful market. It's famous.
It's just the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go to a Saints game. Go on.
We've got the Saints right downtown. I mean,
yeah, awesome. I love walking over to the Saints. It's a good time. Yeah, man.
So I have to ask the consumer question. What are your favorite scents or what are your favorite products from your stores?
Yeah, that's a pretty complex question.
Some of the ones that you like the most.
We like what you like. No. We have a lot of cool stuff, more than soap even. Soap fragrances, I'm kind of a warm girl, you know, so I like a pipe tobacco or a honey, but we have everything. And I'm really quite fickle because there's so many fragrances, you know, you're going to find one you like, right? But we also have things like we have shampoo bars, conditioner bars. We also have salves too, because that hippie part of me, I love mixing essential oils and doing stuff like that. So I have a sore muscle salve. The name you'll probably recognize, it's Tiger Toads. It's a lighter tiger balm, maybe.
Yes.
But not petroleum based and stuff like that. I'm half Thai. And my mom said, she was 5 foot nothing, right? And she goes, when you making me tiger balm? And I'm like, I guess I'm making tiger balm now.
So that is like awesome. That.
Yeah.
Your biggest supporter and biggest critic, mom.
Right. Always.
I'd like to be a lot more specific. Dragon makes a charcoal-based face soap with mani oil, and it is the best soap in the world for your face. I shave my head, so my neck, behind my ears, face, and head all at once, everything from the throat up. It is the best soap she makes. Others will disagree. They can be wrong. It's the one soap that she decided to get out of this whole business and can it. Be done with soap. That's fine. I would support her as long as she keeps making the charcoal face soap.
Yeah, I really think our marriage hinges on that soap. I do. I think if I stopped making it, we'd be in therapy.
Perfect. You know, so every married couple out there should go and buy charcoal soap and just have it in their back pocket, you know.
Just in case, you know.
In case you can't agree on what to watch that night or, you know, just what to do that day, bring out some soap.
Yep. I have to say, too, as the host of this radio show, one of the hosts of this radio show, you're not seeing our faces right now. These two guests have tremendous glowing skin. You can tell that they really do. You know, it's the largest organ of your body. You need to treat it with some delightful soap.
Oh, my gosh. I say that all the time. When people come into the shop, they say, you know, I feel like society is all focused on what we eat and what we put in our body, but our skin is our largest organ. We should be just as concerned with what we're putting on our body. So yeah, that's one of the things I say.
We were kismet.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've been using for my daughter instead of, I guess I became really conscious about it because of all of the, you know, how sensitive baby skin is.
Yep.
And one of the things that I've been buying, you know, is beef tallow. So tallow and essential oils or jojoba oil or any kind of like oil, I guess, it mixed with the tallow. And it's just a dream. It's a dream.
I'm going to have a confession here. My soap on the back says it's got shortening in it. It's beef tallow. Beef tallow shortening.
So Jen has probably five principal recipes, and the specialty ones often have tallow and it's shaving soap.
But our normal bar does too.
Yep. So the recipes are tuned different. Tallow is a key ingredient. Not every single soap she makes, but to a great many of them, tallow is a really important.
It's biocompatible to your skin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to give you the best results. It really is. I can't say enough about beef tallow.
And I think that's one of the things that I've been thinking about going forward for both, you know, because of my daughter, and then also makes me think about what I've been putting on my skin from, you know, soap and lotions and perfumes or makeup and what is in these right. products. And so I think, you know, kind of slowly reexamining my routines and what I use and looking right. into seeing and, you know, it's tough to kind of get out of the habit of grabbing the conditioner, grabbing this. But if you kind of slowly phase things out and introduce something new or find something new that you like and right. then move on to the next thing, I highly recommend that for folks to just kind of take a conscious look at as Dragon said, what we're putting on our skin and hair and nails and what have you, and not just in your body. I mean, both are right. important, but yeah.
Right. I feel like my soap bars, my face bars have the best following, you know, but even more than that, I make this pine tar bar, and Lord, ooh. I hate making that bar. It is sticky and gooey. It reacts different than the other soaps. There's nothing I can do to make it sexy. It's just a plain brown soap.
It smells weird.
It smells like campfire, but why do I make it right? So with people with psoriasis and eczema, they have told me that they've seen a difference in their skin with it. And I'm not saying that it cures anything. It cures nothing, but it does help. It helps with that. I was once told that somebody could actually see their skin after several years after using it, you know? And so I just can't, that's why you do it, right? When you hear yeah. something like that, man, it motivates you to do better and more and constantly research and constantly, you know, make your products that much better. So
yeah, and one thing I will say is, you know, you can put makeup on or you can kind of fix your hair or whatever, but your skin mm-hmm. is like, you know, you can change your shirt, you can't change your skin. No. You know, and you really got to take care of it, and products like that where people have tried everything, when they find a product like yours, it really it's life-changing. It really
right.
is.
Yeah. You know? So despite how much I hate making it, I feel like Pine Tar Day is the most unlucky day for me. I'm going to hit every red stop sign. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to drop my favorite coffee mug. I'm going to do something. But, like, you know, at the end of the day, it's so worth it. And I feel, I honestly, it makes me feel so good about what I'm doing. So.
And where,
the dreaded
other than
Pine Tar Day. Yeah, man.
Pine Tar Day. Pine Tar Day is my least favorite.
Other than at the fairs, and yeah. Where can people find you online?
We are growing our presence online. It's a struggle for us in part because Dragon makes very small batches. It's pretty tough for us to keep inventory accurate, relevant, and well reflected online. So we are working on it. We have a new POS to try to get our barcodes going. So our website right now is soapytoads.com. It's really best for the address and the hours. And then as the contact point for people to find us and reach us and ask, hey, do you right. have lavender right now? They ship me 6 bars of pine tar. So we're not strong on online ordering yet. We're working on it. We're getting there. She's pretty active on TikTok, or at least has been, and does some work on Instagram. But in person's the best right now. And as we continue to grow our online presence, that's one of our areas of opportunity for future growth.
I gotta be honest, I make fantastic soap. I suck at business. I don't have that brain. So thank God I have Jake.
Well,
you know?
We're figuring it out together. Yeah. And it is a challenge. I'm a manufacturing engineer by trade. So Dragon's are artists.
Right.
And she's in that intersection between artisan craft and small scale manufacturing. So I live in the manufacturing brain and mindset and ask the questions of the arts, and she learns the arts mindset and asks the questions about manufacturing. So we're a good team that way. Neither of us has a lot of training in proper traditional business. But we do have a lot of support, like the Downtown Alliance, like the Chamber of Commerce, like the community of other business owners in the Skyway and in downtown. So we're working on it, and every day is a new set of challenges and a new set of opportunities.
That's a great pitch for folks who are artists. If you're listening to this show, you know, we've had a lot of directors, actors, or filmmakers on the show, and it's hard enough being an artist, but then also to be a business owner as well. It's tough, but it's really I highly encourage you to branch out if you're listening to this and you have something that you want to sell or a passion. Don't be scared of the business aspect. You know, find folks that you can talk to like Dragon and Jake and who make it work and who've done it, and you'll learn and you will mess up. But at the end of the day, I think when you have power over your own product, you know, you may not be the best at the TikTok, whatever, you know what I mean? None of us are. Social media has gone crazy. What are we even doing anymore? But if you make a great product and the word will get out and folks will love it and help you and you'll learn. And
that's what I'm learning. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And you're not beholden to trying to sell your product to a bigger manufacturer or, you know, you'll have small business support. So.
Right. And, you know, you were saying like, you know, try, just try. Right. So I remember when I was first going into like a storefront type retail, I told my mom passed away about a year ago, but I told my mom,
I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I said, am I too old to be doing this? And she goes, you're too old not to be doing it. You're going to, you know, you've got to do it now. Do it now or you don't do it at all. So I mean, that's the thing I remember all the time. She's like, you're too old not. I've never heard somebody reply to that way, you know, so.
Yeah. Isn't that wild how mind, I've been thinking a lot about mindset and then controlling controlling your thoughts. You can't really control your emotions, I don't think. But your thoughts, no, you do have some control. Yeah. Yeah. You're too old not to be doing this, is what she said, right? I love that. Love that. Yeah.
I know. It's one of the most motivating things I've ever heard. I'm like, I am too old not to be doing this. So
and let me tell you something. So you know, I do another show that's an arts biography podcast called Art of Darkness, and we got a sponsor recently, a coffee company out of North Carolina, and they just it was a simple like affiliate link, right? Okay. But we took it seriously, and we got the coffee. And you go to their website, and your website is very cute, by the way. I know a WordPress website when I see it.
That was all Chris Fox.
It's very cute. You got little toads, little frogs, you know, little toads. But, you know, and you go to that coffee website, it's called Larry's Coffee. And we looked at it and it's like bird friendly and all this other stuff and fair trade and artisanal and da da da, small batch. Correct. And okay. So we're not going to sell anything without trying it. So the guy sent us these samples and I opened, and I love my Caribou Coffee. Okay. I'm an adopted Minnesota. I love my Caribou Coffee, but it's not Larry's Coffee. And when I opened up that sample, it took me back to when I was slinging coffee in Dinkytown back in the day. Like, just the smell of the coffee. Yeah. And now at home, it's Larry's Coffee all the time. And I guess my point is, you know, this is what I wanted to say. Getting back to your soap. People, you have a budget for soap, I pray. If you're a Mouthing Off listener, you have the budget. And I promise you, the Soapy Toad soap is not, it's not egregiously expensive. Right? Like,
we
it's
wanted
not.
To make it
it's
affordable.
Very reasonable. It's very affordable and reasonable. And like I said, I lived in Manhattan. If this was on the Upper East Side, these bars of soap would be $24 a piece.
I know. And people always bug me, like friends and people dear to me are always saying I should raise my price. But I want people to afford it too. You know?
Well, and you do that nice thing where I think it's like you use this five for price of four or something like that. It's I'm not off put by the price when I go in there. And I'm just telling people, really piggybacking on what Amanda was saying, you know, just shop consciously when you're able, right?
Right.
Like, take your soap budget and give it to Soapy Toads. Take your coffee budget, Larry's Coffee. You know what I mean? It's not that hard. And this stuff isn't like wildly, especially with the state of inflation and everything.
Oh, my God.
I've noticed that like the little places are actually like kind of more in parity with some of the other places. So, you know.
And you know that we're more legit. I mean, I hate to say that, but
no, we are.
We're a bit more, we make it. You can read the back of my soap. You can read the package and you can pronounce everything on there and you can find probably most everything in your kitchen. So,
and I'm meeting the person whose hands made it.
Right, you
know?
Right.
Which it's is a really beautiful, which is a really beautiful exchange. You know, there's no shipping middlemen and I don't know where it's coming from or this or that. It's I'm meeting the person, shaking their hand, you know,
right.
and giving the cash right to you, you know,
yeah.
which is a really good, it's a really good feeling. And if you want to follow Soapy Toads, Soapy_Toads on Instagram. And what is your website? SoapyToads.com?
Yep.
Perfect. Yep. SoapyToads.com. Dare I say, get over there to the store before things sell out, especially the charcoal face soap. Now I'm need to run over
that
there.
I don't have a choice. I have to make that.
Regarding price, sometimes people approach us at the farmer's market and see a modest price for it.
Sorry, so, we have a parrot too, and she's squawking.
It's a regular menagerie here.
People look at it and say, I can't afford to do that all the time, or I can't change my squirts out of a plastic bottle of goop to a handmade soap because I can't do it every time. Try it once.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll find that it lasts longer in the shower than you thought it would, or you'll find that it's worth it. You'll find that it's not a big, it's never a barrier to try something once. Try the shower steamer, try the bath bomb.
You'll find your skin stays so much softer. And that's not a big deal right now, but in January, it's a huge deal.
Well, and speaking of that, it is May and Mother's Day is coming up. This is your, if you're looking for a clever, and Amanda, is this going to be your first Mother's Day or your second? Yeah, it's your first Mother's
first.
Day.
Oh, my gosh, that's so cool.
That's so nice, Amanda. Yeah, there
Day.
You go. Yeah,
thank you.
Happy
thank
Mother's
you.
Day. What a
We've got
what
four
a,
kids, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So do I. Very good.
Oh, do you do?
Oh, I do. Yeah. Well,
you're doing this.
That's you know how you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. That's what I always say. I know, Amanda. It's my ultimate dad joke. But what was I going to say? Mother's Day. This would be the store. I'm not kidding you. Go, you know, either take your mom or your grandma or whatever else.
Or what a girls shopping day.
Go
down
to the
there.
Little
yeah.
chocolate.
You know?
Chocolate. Go to Lost Fox for breakfast or brunch. Right? They've got the best Eggs Benedict in town. Then stroll over to Soapy. Are you open on the weekends or is it just Monday through Friday?
Saturday.
So Saturday. And then,
you know, we are the perfect date area, honestly. If you go to Lost Fox and get breakfast, you come over to Soapy Toads, you grab a coffee from Legacy and maybe a chocolate. You go over to my shop, you shop there. You go over to Pocket Full Posies. They have some gift items, but they also have beautiful flowers.
Yeah.
And then you go downstairs to Gambit Brewery, catch lunch. And you have a beer, then you go over to the museum, and spend some time there. How is that not the perfect spot to be at?
It really is. I mean, I'm telling you, fellas, take her out, okay? You're going to have anybody. Take them out. But and when you're doing that on a Saturday, you want to go through Union Station to get up into the Skyway if you're coming from Lost Fox. Just a little trick. I usually use the weekday. I usually go in and out of the PBS building, but on the weekends that's closed. So you gotta know your there's a little bookstore in the train station. We have two bookstores downtown here. People are I'm telling you, you're sleeping on beautiful historic St. Paul, Minnesota. Okay,
it's true.
I'm doing all the work here. I'm single-handedly maintaining the property values. We're getting
we
an Aldi.
We have the coolest spots downtown. We really do.
We really do.
Stores. We have, you know, we just need to be able to get out there and somehow reach the public so they can see us. We just need to be seen, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, and again, please, people, you know, whether you're in the arts, I mean, I consider this, do you consider this to be like a craft or an art or sort of how do you see it? Yeah.
Well, so yeah, it's a craft and art. I could just make plain white soap bars. They're high quality. They're good for you. You know, nothing. But I can't actually.
Well, it's the intersection between art and craft and manufacturing. But more than anything else, it's deliberate.
Yeah.
The collection of retail items is carefully curated. People that we know hang out with and like, and the soaps are carefully chosen. The colors, the fragrances, the craft, the size, the wrapping. So whether it's artisan or craftsmanship or manufacturing, it's all on purpose. None of it's on accident. None of it's a cash grab.
Except for that one bowl. No. Yeah.
Very fun. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Soapytoads.com. We got maybe another 3, 4, 5 minutes. So we'll wind. This goes so fast, doesn't it?
It does.
You're always welcome to come back on the show too, you know, later in the year, next year, you have something to promote.
Yeah, just
event.
Let me know.
We're just happy to chat. You know, you'll see me around, you know, as I sort of lurk and head to and fro in the skyway. Be using
Please
it
always
a
come
less.
And say hi.
Yeah, of course. I'll come in and say hi, and I really do need to buy some of this soap. I want this face soap, this charcoal face soap.
You know what honestly is the most popular thing in our store though?
What?
Our dog Jax. I bring him in every day, and he's got people. I remember this one guy coming in the store, and he says, "I've had a really bad day. Where's the dog?" And I'm like, "Oh, sleeping on the couch, but I'll go get him." So he's the biggest draw we have.
Come for the dog, stay for the soap.
Stay for the soap. Yeah, that's right.
I know, right?
The copy on your website is very funny. Did you all work on the copy?
We have a friend, two friends who are designers. One of them sells her products at our store.
Yeah, and she works there too. Jamie Haas.
And then the other one is a web designer, graphic artist. They're both
her husband.
And it's a married couple. They do web design, marketing, graphic arts. And so they did the copy, a lot of the graphics other than the totes. The totes themselves are custom characters that our daughter drew.
Oh,
Our daughter did those.
Yeah, because you've got one toad has a halo and the other toad is sticking its tongue out.
Yeah,
out and has
so he
horns.
Likes to say he's the halo and I'm the devil, but you know, I don't know.
Not just a tie up, but there's a bit of a forked tail and some horns on the devil, on the devil toad.
That's true.
And the angel toad sits opposite. And they are sort of the yin and yang of the shop, of the persona, of the brand.
We wanted to keep our brand fun. I mean, I know there's a lot of seriousness about what's good for your skin, what essential oils, all this other stuff. But we also wanted it to be fun because, you know, the world is serious enough.
Yeah.
So we went on a little bit of fun.
It's playful. It's deliberate, playful, fun, irreverent, but also really serious.
Yeah.
The ingredients in the craft is very serious. But that doesn't mean that we have.
Well, I mean, I think once you're able to sell online, too, I mean, you could do. I mean, again, I don't understand the ins and outs of the business, but it just seems like a natural thing that
we are working on that right now.
Yeah.
I am. I'm into like manufacturing mode. Right. So I'm making a lot more soap than I've ever made before. So we have a stock that we can draw from for wholesale or retail online. Or any of that. So that's our goal. So I'm knee deep in soap right now.
That's fantastic. And you could sell on subscriptions too, you know, get three bars every 3 months. I mean, and then that scales nicely and you've got this great brand. I've worked with small business owners. You know, I had a friend I knew through my playwriting world who had a company called Lucky Guy Bakery. And it's very similar to yours, but it was in Indiana, but it was brownies, 5 ingredients. All pronounceable.
Perfect.
And she was going to shut it down, but then she got on the Today Show. So we had to get her website ready for like 100,000 concurrent visitors.
Jeez, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it was a really big deal. And that's stuff like that, that can happen. That can happen. You know, you have a good brand, you have a credible store online in any event. And my sister runs, she's Chelsea Smith Cosmetics. She sells wigs and eyelashes. She has her own warehouse and everything out in Sacramento. No, it's crazy. My brother
That's
and I both
cool.
went to grad school, and she's like lapped us many times over in terms of like pure financial success. I have no bitterness or resentment about this at all. No, I'm very, very proud of her. No. I love my sister. She's wonderful.
Joking,
she models it all herself too. I mean, she's always been a princess. You know, I've been more of a toad. I've been more of a frog. You understand? We got to wind this down. This has been so fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm Kevin Kautzman. We're chatting with the Soapy Toads folks. One more time, hit your website and your Instagram. Where can people find you?
Soapytoads.com and Soapy_toads on Instagram.
Yep.
Please come on anytime. Folks out there listening, you got something to promote in and around the Twin Cities? Theater, arts, culture. I consider this to be culture, arts. BadmouthTC @gmail.com. Email us. We want to hear from you. Amanda, you get the last word.
Yeah, and if you're looking for a wonderful Saturday date, go hit up downtown St. Paul and Soapy Toads and buy your mom something, buy your sister something, your cousin, your girlfriends, you know, or even the guy and the charcoal face, you know, it's a face soap. He needs it.
You heard that, boys. Get some soap for all of your girlfriends. All
right, Kevin, bye. I'm following up with you.
Take care.